Cassie McCullough with you for Life Matters on Radio National. Now, when you're at the movies, how easily do you get scared? Does that freak you out? That's a Yowie, the enduring legend of the Australian bush and of Indigenous culture. But that actual Yowie roar is from a new Australian short film. And I have to say, when I watched it, it scared the pants off me. It's called Eagle Hawk and it's about 22 minutes long. It makes its debut at this year's Sydney Film Festival. It's a fascinating little film. But the way it came about is also curiously interesting. Eagle Hawk is created by Dollhouse Pictures, which is a group of Australian women who make films in an industry where women are often underrepresented, both behind the camera and in front of it. Joining us now is Marisa Nathar, screenwriter of Eagle Hawk, and on the phone, Shannon Murphy, who is the director. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks for having
Cassie.
Us.
It's very tricky to talk about this short film without giving away any of the lovely surprises that are in it. How have you pitched it to the people that have joined you to work on it?
It's essentially about an aspiring actress who's absolutely determined to pursue her craft to the utmost length and who goes to extraordinary lengths, even to the extent of pursuing what some would say is a mythical creature, which is the Yowie.
Where's this film set fictionally?
We've set Eagle Hawk in a remote kind of wilderness area of Australia, and we purposely set it in a pine forest rather than the Australian bush setting because we wanted it to have an otherworldly kind of feel. And as it was an adaptation from an American short story, which was originally set in a forest kind of atmosphere, we felt that to tell the story of this creature, which is some is truth and some is mythical, it was really important to set it in a setting that we're not used to seeing on film that will have that feeling of slight fantasy and otherworldliness.
Yeah, well, it certainly has that. It's, as you say, a pine forest, but it's very sort of dark and
jagged. Quite spooky.
It really is. And the characters that we quickly meet are living in, it's a bit like a caravan park that's just on the edge of this forest. A young girl and a young guy who appears to have an illness and they live in it. What is it, like a kind of trailer or a hut?
It is. It's a lot of the caravan parks have kind of permanent residences. So, yeah, like little trailers that have never quite moved. And that's what's interesting, I think, about caravan parks is that they are kind of a transitional place or the place where people maybe think they're going to end up just staying for a little while and end up living there permanently.
So and the story is very much that the two characters, Jimmy, is someone who has stayed in the caravan park for quite a long time. He's inherited a caravan from his grandmother, so he isn't really planning on going anywhere, whereas the lead character of Eve, she thought this place is going to be transitional for her, but she's at a stage in her career where she's not quite sure how to break through to the next stage, and she's found herself a bit lost and stuck in this caravan world of Eagle Hawk.
Uh-huh, yes. And these two characters that we're talking about are played by Tilda Cobham-Hervey. I haven't seen her before. Is she a new actress?
Oh, yes, she's incredible. She's in a wonderful feature film called 52 Tuesdays, which did incredibly well internationally. And here in Australia, it's by a wonderful director called Sophie Hyde, who makes very interesting work. And it's a great story about a young woman who's got a parent who's going through gender transformation. And that's when I first saw Tilda and fell in love with how excellent she was. And then the other actor is Ryan Corr, who I actually years ago went to NIDA with when I was studying directing, and he's an excellent actor who's recently been in Holding the Man.
They are extraordinary, the pair of them. And we meet a character played by Wayne Blair. Now, he's a kind of caretaker in the caravan park, but he's also running this side business. What can we say about that without giving too much away?
Well, the side business is very much about giving people the experience of being thrilled into living again. So people come and seek adventure, seek to experience something that is of another world. He creates that for them.
And also people come to find proof that the Yowie does exist, because there is a whole world of Yowie hunters out there that dedicate their life to proving its existence.
So there's this whole subculture that's obsessed with Yowie hunting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's discussion forums about the Yowie. And
there's endless forums that when I was researching the film that I got completely lost in.
Oh, you mean actually there is really?
There really is. Really a community, a very strong community of Yowie hunters out there.
Okay. So they have theories about their kind of size and age and all kinds of behaviours and habitats.
Whether they're male, I think most of the forums I came across often referred to the Yowies as male. But
yeah, and where we chose to shoot is actually an area where in Indigenous culture there is the story of the Yowie is very much alive and present in that region. So it was very interesting to learn a lot about that, and the fact that in Indigenous culture it's also considered to be men's business. And so a lot of the secrets of the Yowie cannot be revealed to women.
Uh-huh. So, well, this is touching on one of the themes that I think is also part of your work with Dollhouse Pictures. For people who haven't heard of it, like myself, explain what it is and who's involved. Shannon.
It's five females who are friends and creatives, and so we formed a collective. It's myself, Rose Byrne, Crew Boylan, Jess Carrera and Gracie Otto. And we all have a range of different skill sets, but predominantly in theatre, film and television and documentary making. And we decided to come together to start creating work that we felt passionate about, and that was female driven, both in protagonist and in who the writer was.
So is this a bit like the Dogma films that we associate with Lars von Trier et al? You know, have you got a kind of, well, set of rules like them?
Yeah, we do. And it's interesting because we're only a new company. We're a year old. And so I think like all creative organisations, we're constantly shape-shifting what those rules are. But we definitely do focus on having similar tastes, and what important stories we think are worth being told and what message we're putting out there.
Okay, give some examples of that. How does that translate into what we see on screen?
I just instinctively choose stories because I am drawn to them. I've never really had an agenda often when I pick stories. It's just what speaks to me. But in the history of the body of my work, it definitely almost always involves strong female characters, and the work is almost always written by a woman. And so that's just always been the case with my work. Yeah, but I guess as well it's about making sure that the stories are complex and working on several levels. I don't like to overinterpret my work because I really do feel strongly that the audience should be the interpreter and make a lot of their own decisions. But I obviously put a lot of thought into what I'm doing.
Well, back to Eagle Hawk. Marisa Nathar, you said earlier that you'd adapted this from a short story written by an American writer. Tell us about the way that this story particularly fits into the project of Dollhouse Pictures.
When Shannon first gave me the original short story, which is by Laura Vandenberg, an American author, about it was more about an aspiring actress who impersonated Bigfoot. When we first started discussing how to adapt it, what really struck us about that original story is how unusual the female character was, how she went to great lengths to disguise herself as a beast, to become this character to achieve her dream, so to speak. So what starts off perhaps for her is an interest in just becoming a mythical creature. She becomes more and more immersed into the fantasy of it.
Shannon, how do you see it?
I definitely think what's interesting in the storytelling is the idea that it's about people's obsessions and passions and what happens when they go too far to try and achieve their dream and can often get lost in sort of a psychological and physical place that is pushing them too far. And what I like about what the story is saying is that this woman is trying her best to be taken seriously at her craft, and she works hard every day doing that. And the world that she's in doesn't seem to be really recognizing that or taking her seriously. And so she has to go to extreme lengths in order to get to a place where she feels comfortable enough in herself and she's able to find herself and her inner voice.
Now, Megan Washington is also on board with this project. What was her contribution and how did she come to be part of it?
I really love the idea of always having someone in the mix on a project who is in a position that they haven't been in before. So even though, of course, Megan is an incredible composer and musician, she hasn't done a lot of film score before, and I thought, wonderful, then she'll come up with some really fascinating and out-of-the-box ideas, which is exactly what she did, and it was an incredibly organic and easy process on this.
And so this film is going to be screened, Eagle Hawk will be screened at the Sydney Film Festival. What then? What's the next sort of part of the process for you both? First to you, Marisa.
I've got lots of little ideas for developing feature films that Shannon and I are going to work on, and that would probably be the next step. Certainly, even just adapting this short story, we felt every step of the way that we could have easily made this into a feature film if we'd had the chance. So I think we're chomping at the bit to get going on the next one.
Yeah, I imagine that would be quite a good kind of extension of your skills. And with this film, Shannon, where does it go next?
Well, I'm currently directing two episodes of Offspring, and then I have a play and an opera, so I'm just trying to get through this year. But after that, I hope to definitely make a feature film and continue to work in television. I just am really loving this new sort of industry that I've entered into because I spent so many years directing theatre, so it's all very exciting and new to me, and I can't wait to be doing more.
So is part of the plan really to start an ensemble, to start a group that is used to working together to take on bigger and bigger projects?
Completely. And I think what's really always important is to, you know, you spend a lot of time as a creative sifting through different people and learning who are the best people to work with. And that's constantly a developing process. And even though we are an all-female collective, we obviously also work with men, but we really go out of our way to find talented women in the industry and continue to open the doors to ideas of collaborations.
Well, how exciting. Good luck with this. Good luck with the picture and also with the collective. And thanks for talking with us today on Life Matters.
Thank you so much.
That is Shannon Murphy, director of Eagle Hawk, Marisa Nathar. She's the screenwriter. It's screening at the Sydney Film Festival and will then travel around the country. And maybe you'll be able to see it in a travelling film festival that comes to your town. Cassie McCullough with you on Life Matters. Just a couple of your texts from some of the stories we've been talking about this morning. You might have been here when we were talking to Elspeth Muir about her book Wasted, in which she looks at the culture of alcohol in this country and in particular how it led to the death of her younger brother. We have a message from Scott saying, drastic societal ills require drastic remedies. The alcohol industry needs to be reined in. Enough is enough. And also we were talking about the life of Esther the Wonder Pig. And another texter says to us, imagine the suffering of being raised in concrete stalls and never to feel the grass or the Australian sunshine. So true indeed.